Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Red Hot Comic Book Movie News.
Big news of the Earth.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of The Weekly Planet, where we talk movies and comics and TV shows.
Yes.
My name is James, also known as Mr. Sunday. Please don't interrupt me. With me, as always, is my co-host, Nick Mason. That I was just, to you and the listeners. Please don't interrupt me.
Don't interrupt, I understand, sure. Mm. I thought you were bringing me into that.
No. I mean, you're part of it.
That's great.
Because when I'm talking, you're one of the listeners. But when you're talking...
You don't listen to podcasts. No. That's right. As you've said repeatedly, you do not listen to podcasts.
Well, that's not true. I listened to one this week, which we will talk about. Now, Mason.
Hello.
A couple of things up top.
Oh, yes.
First of all, it's been high demand. People have been saying to us, when are you going to do a movie commentary for the movie The Time Machine starring Guy Pearce from 2002?
Uh-huh, sure.
When is that happening?
It's been relentless, these requests.
Yeah.
People show up at our houses.
Yep.
And they're like, we've found your address. And we're going to harass you about this, and then we're going to leave, and then we're going to delete that memory from our minds.
That's right.
Because otherwise it's doxing.
That's exactly. You're not allowed to do that. You shouldn't, and you're not allowed to.
Yeah, but they come up to us on the street, and they're like, where's your commentary on the time machine?
Well, right now, it's at bigsandwich.co where there's a bunch of other stuff if people are interested in. Look, to be fair, let's be real. No one was asking for this. This is a labor of love of mine.
Mm.
I'm the only body who talks about the time machine 2002. Right.
You had reams of notes is what you had.
I did. So if people are interested, they can check that out.
Mm.
The other thing is this might be a little bit of a shorter episode this week, Mason has discovered. We're going to do we're going to do like a Harrison Ford retrospective thing, which we are going to touch on a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't get to enough Harrison Ford movies this week. I got to one. Because Claire's still in Europe for a couple of weeks.
It's his award-nominated role.
I did. So I got to the big one.
Yeah.
So well, I guess we'll talk about that a little bit.
But his Oscar-losing role.
Oscar-losing role, that's right. It might be a little bit shorter. It's things are bloody flat chat here at the moment, aren't they,
it
Mason?
It seems flat chat. I got here and it was indeed flat chat.
So, yeah. But that's okay. It doesn't mean we can't have fun and not interrupt each other. Do you think?
Yep,
because then it will go quicker.
Mm.
Yeah. Here's the news of the week that we're going to be getting to.
I thought I was going to be talking about the fugitive to a fellow fuge head.
You can talk about the fugitive.
Okay.
We'll talk about it.
I mean, you've seen it.
Yeah, so. I saw it.
Yeah.
I've seen the sequel as well.
That's true.
Yeah.
Have you seen the original TV series?
No. Okay. Have you?
No.
What's it called?
The Fugitive.
Whoa.
That's right. Fugitive Zero Origins.
Is it before he's a fugitive?
Yep.
Just a doctor.
Just a doctor man.
Mm. So we're going to talk about...
Richard Kimball, rad doctor.
Doing everything by the book.
Nobody... His vascular surgery is tubular.
His wife's alive.
That's right. And not Ashley Judd. You think it is, but it's a different lady.
Is Ashley Judd in that movie?
No.
Oh, okay.
She looks like Ashley.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. So anyway, we're going to talk about the first reports on Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning. Mm-hmm. You might have some thoughts on that as well. We're going to talk about how...
James, even if I didn't, I'd make some stuff up.
That's true. We're going to talk about how long he plans to do these.
It's Tom Cruise.
Yeah, Tom Cruise.
Okay.
What his plan is for the Barbie Oppenheimer week.
Not the royal he.
No.
All of us.
Yeah.
What we plan to do with Tom Cruise's career.
And then speaking of Barbie, we're going to talk about a little bit of a Barbie controversy that's going on at the moment, which may have been resolved. We're going to talk about The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe.
Mm.
Might be coming to Netflix.
Okay.
What's happening with Shang-Chi?
What is happening with Shang-Chi?
We'll find out.
Well, based on some movie posters that I've seen on Twitter, I don't think Simu Liu has enough time to make a Shang-Chi 2.
What's he up to?
just straight to streaming movies.
Is he?
Just a lot of them.
I don't know what he's doing. Well, you got to get money.
That's true.
That's what I say.
Mm.
Yeah.
We're putting that on your gravestone.
That's right.
It's been your birthday recently. I've chipped in to get you a gravestone. I've chipped in to get something chipped on your gravestone. And it's, you got to get that money.
You got to get it. Mm. We're going to talk about one cameo in Deadpool 3. There's been a lot of rumors.
Mm.
I'm going to do one.
Okay.
And then...
Do you think it's the best one?
I think it's the most interesting one, the one okay. that I want to see. Okay. But also you can skip that because there are time codes below.
What if I'm thinking of one right now and it's different from the one you're thinking of?
We can we can do two.
We'll say them together?
Yeah, we'll say them together, okay. But not yet.
Okay.
Then we're going to talk about...
Oh, I cannot wait.
Trailers Ahoy with a twist.
Oh.
We're going to talk about the fate of Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny. Mm. We're going to talk about what has happened to The Flash, the movie. My God. It's both of those movies.
Yeah.
It's not good news. Unless you hate those movies, in which case it's very good news.
A lot of people hate those movies. A lot of people they're jack of it. This week is a real lesson in Australian slang, I think. Flat chat.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Get a dog up ya.
Get a dog up ya. And the tradition of putting "I got that money" on your gravestone.
Yeah, on your gravestone. That's right. Mm-hmm. And then I've got a New Yorker article I want to unpack, which is about the 45 different brands that.
Oh, Mattel is looking is putting on the table. They're like, there's so much money in this.
After Barbie, they're like, I think we've got some ideas.
Yeah.
And it's just a very fascinating thing to kind of work through, if you don't mind.
I'm very excited for that.
Anyways.
And then maybe we'll talk about Harrison Ford for a minute.
Yeah, we'll talk about Harrison Ford for a minute.
That's right.
So, Mason, universal acclaim.
Oh.
For Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1.
Last time I checked, it was at 98% on those Rotten Tomatoes.
Well, that's actually rigged and it's filled with shills and you're a fucking idiot and you married Kathleen Kennedy.
Yeah, I know. and thanks for your well wishes.
Oh, you're welcome.
Yeah.
Did you like the bread maker I got you?
It was
Did
wonderful.
Kathleen like it?
She did like it, but then she ruined it.
Oh, no.
She put too much diversity in my bread maker.
Did she have her red laser eyes and she, like, exploded it?
Yeah, she lasered it.
So you don't like her? Your wife?
No.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
I married her because she was going to be president of Lucasfilm or whatever, and then and every day she's like, I've been fired from president of Lucasfilm. Every day she's
you got to console
she's
her?
On my case. And then she's like, oh, wait, that was just an article from some weird clickbait website. Which I confused for my own internal emails. And then I'm like, oh, don't worry about it. And then the next day she's like, I got fired again.
Whoa.
I don't know what happened. Is it my laser eyes? Are they off-putting to people?
I think it's the laser eyes. Here's a quote from the IGN review. And now you've seen this movie.
I mean,
you're not going to speak to it like fully. I'd
in detail. I'm going to spoil everything
spoil
about
it, obviously,
now.
But yeah, it says, Tom Cruise is back to fight God and save Hollywood's jobs. Is that true?
In a way it is, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
God.
In a way it is, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll tell you without spoiling anything.
Yeah.
The antagonist is perhaps slightly different than what we've seen in previous Mission Impossible movies.
Because it's a fictional character? No, because it's a fictional being, like an entity.
I wouldn't want to say.
Oh, my God.
But also,
is he a robot?
I would describe.
Is it a lizard?
I would describe the vibes of this movie. Having us, we've recently seen, you know, the three most recent Mission Impossible movies before this.
Well, oh, by the way, the Gary Vanner garbage this week is 6.
Yep,
the Henry
Fallout.
Cavill one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. yeah. Mm. I would describe the vibes of this one as insane. There's just surreal and insane
in
there's,
a good way.
Yes, I think so.
All right.
Yeah, but it takes a minute to get used to. I think.
Okay. Mm. Because he fist fights God.
Yes.
The opening 25 minutes is a de-aged Tom
right.
Cruise fist fighting God.
Have you ever seen that Family Guy sketch where Peter Griffin fights the chicken? Well, it's that, but it's Tom Cruise and God.
I can't wait to see that this week, genuinely. I was hoping to get to it this weekend because there's been some early screening because they're just like, we'll show everybody.
Yeah.
We'll show everybody this movie.
You know something that I... appreciated when we did the Caravan of Garbage on the previous movies is that the title sequences, in a kind of throwback to the TV series, I guess.
They hit ahead, right?
Yeah, they show clips from the upcoming movie you're about to see. And I think there's a certain confidence in being like, well, yeah, there's going to be a helicopter chase. Yeah, there's going to be a car chase. There's going to be this.
Yeah,
there's going to do this stunt or whatever. Even though it's just clips of it.
Yeah.
Just like, yeah, it's sort of a spoiler.
Yeah.
Like, but it's and worth it. It's going to be worth it.
And
kind of
it's
thing.
Good. It's kind of weird. It's kind of almost like a trailer in the movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's interesting because, like, you know, when you go into an okay movie or a bad movie and you know what's going to happen and you're like, well, this doesn't mean anything because later there's going to be a whatever.
Yeah, right.
But here it's like, get ready.
Get ready.
He's going to fist fight God.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, here we go. Tom Cruise has said
his hair goes really big and golden, sort of. You know, being like a big, like a big inferno. You know,
that's cool.
He spends 20 minutes in a corner just going,
getting more vascular.
Yeah, getting more and more vascular. Yeah,
cool. So he spoke to the Sydney Morning Herald and he said Harrison Ford is a legend.
Yes, that's right.
And that's all he said. No, he said.
He said, didn't he say he's got 20 years to catch up with him?
He said, I hope to still be going. I've got 20 years to catch up with him. Hope to keep making Mission Impossible films until I'm his age.
Wow.
Tom Cruise is now 61, I believe.
Yeah, he is 61. Isn't that shocking?
That is shocking.
I would have said 51.
I would have said 62.
Nice.
But a good 62 where he looks 51 is what I would say. So that's interesting because the narrative have been like, you'll do Dead Reckoning 1 and 2.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah. We'll see, won't we?
I'm sure.
Another 20 years of these, I'll guess I'll just watch them until I'm 60.
Right. And he'll still be 61. You've caught up to him.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
Another quote is people asked him about what are you going to do with Barbie and Oppenheimer? They're out the same week. We're all asking that question ourselves.
Yeah.
And he said, I want to see both Barbie and Oppenheimer. I'll see them opening weekend. Friday, I'll see Oppenheimer first and then Barbie on Saturday.
Ooh.
Interesting choice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I wonder what order should I see them in? What are you going to do?
A lot of people are, opinion is divided on the internet. I think a lot of people are having like brunch and then they're seeing Barbie.
Oh, yeah.
And then they're going to a bar and smoking a lot of cigarettes and then they're seeing Oppenheimer.
I wonder if I want to see Oppenheimer and then see something lighter with Barbie. Mm. Or do I want that in the back of my mind, just watching people get obliterated by a nuclear
explosion?
Well,
maybe that's what you want. I mean, maybe, you know, the central theme of Barbie, at least some of it seems to be she's having
escape
thoughts
from reality.
And she's having thoughts about death as well.
Oh
so
God.
Maybe you'll go into it and being like,
that's very interesting.
Maybe that'll add to that sense of doom.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Movie, you know?
All right, I like this. I like this idea that we're having.
Yeah.
Okay, so Vietnam authorities, i.e. the National Film Evaluation Council, the NFEC, said that they've said and they've done it, they've banned screenings of Greta Gerwig's Barbie movie in their country. There is a scene in the movie where we see a map with a 9-dash line which represents China's territorial claims in the South China Sea, a violation of Vietnam's sovereignty.
Yeah, so that's the map if we haven't
when
seen the movie
go to
yet.
The real world or whatever?
No, there's a map. No, it's the map that Kate McKinnon draws. You see it in the trailer where Kate McKinnon as sort of demented, drawn-on Barbie is the and she's sort of it's not an official map like
yeah,
it's not an
she just draws a line on it or
yeah
whatever,
it's just it's like a just like a, it's made with like construction paper
okay right
I think that's the map
you don't think
about.
Kate McKinnon's Barbie character has any opinions on any of this stuff?
I don't think she does actually no
okay
no but it's interesting that of Barbie and Oppenheimer the one that is causing geopolitical issues is the Barbie one
sure
and Oppenheimer is. Something to do with romance and age gap discourse this week.
Ooh.
Or something. Isn't
there nudity in it or something?
There is nudity in it, apparently.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
What are you saying, Florence Pugh, what now?
Because Florence Pugh and Cillian Murphy are, they're a couple in the movie, I think. Those two characters in real life are a couple in the movie. A couple in real life. But Florence Pugh and Cillian Murphy are like 20 years.
Yeah, because he'd be mid-40s at least.
Something like that.
Yeah.
But also the character Florence Pugh is playing, she's basically the same age as that person was in real life.
Oh, okay. So what's the discourse?
Oh, that it's
the age is too big.
They're in the two real life people, their age gap was like 10 years, but in the movie the two actors' age gap is 20 years.
Well, I think that's a credit to Cillian Murphy's skincare regime.
I think it is too.
But, you know, I don't know. I'll decide that on the day when I see it.
That's right.
Whether it's appropriate or
yes.
not.
Yes.
Anyway.
I mean, you probably won't be thinking about it because that big bomb's going to go off and it's going to send your hair, eyebrow hair off.
Yeah, in real life that's going to happen?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Great, cool. Anyway, a spokesperson from Warner Brothers Film Group came out and they said, listen.
Are you kidding us?
They said, the map in Barbie Land is a childlike crown drawing or crayon, as some say.
Nobody says crown drawing.
In Australia they do. No, crown. I was a fucking primary school teacher, Mason. They do actually. It's not right, but it's true. You didn't believe me that we called drinking taps or drink fountains drink taps.
It's true.
You're like, that's not what they're called. Yeah. I'm like, I work at a school.
Mm.
I've worked at many schools and that is what they're called. Maybe you should go into a primary school and ask some kids.
I think I know what I'm talking about, James, because when I was in primary school, I got elected class president because I successfully got Coca-Cola put in all the drink taps. I campaigned on that. I'm the only person on Earth that made it happen.
It's because your uncle worked at Nintendo. Yeah,
he's that's right. Yeah, he did. Yeah, because my uncle worked at Nintendo, and he, you know, his brother worked at Coca-Cola, and we made it happen.
So the doodles depict Barbie's make-believe journey from Barbie Land to the real world. It's not intended to make any type of statement. Well, too late. You've made a statement.
Made a statement. Sorry. Yeah. Sorry. And obviously it's just because somebody in production design was like, okay, we'll get a we're gonna make a childlike map, and we'll just download the first map off Wikipedia and just trace it and make it childlike, and they just happen to put that line in. That's what happened.
Pretty
there.
Cool.
Yeah.
I wonder if they'll change it before the movie comes out. Probably not. It's probably too close. Anyway, this is by The New Yorker. So Greta Gerwig, who directed this, will helm two films based on C.S. Lewis's Chronicles of Narnia.
Chronicles of Narnia.
For Netflix. Oh. I like Greta Gerwig a lot. I'm indifferent to Chronicles of Narnia, but I know people are big fans of that particular universe.
When did we most recently get a Chronicles of Narnia anything? It's been quite recent, right?
Like Crisp Capsian? What's it called?
Oh, Prince Caspian.
Yeah.
Chris Crapsian. It's Prince Crisp Crapsian.
Chronicles of Narnia movies, here we go.
It's the Horn of Narnia, blah. That heralds the arrival of Prince Crisp Crapsian.
It was the Voyage of the Dawn Trader, and that was 2010. That was going to be a Chronicles of Narnia, the Silver Chair movie.
But Silver Chair movie?
Like a band, yeah, with Daniel Johns. But that didn't get made.
Mm.
So there you go. I saw the first band, one.
I read an interview with the members of the band Silver Chair once, and they were like, yeah, we named our band after Sliver, which was some sort of band or something, and UMI's Berlin Chair, that song. And I'm like, no, you didn't. You named it after the Silver Chair in Narnia. That's what you named it after. Don't lie. You don't have to lie. You don't have to lie to me. Daniel Johns? Is that his name?
Yeah, Daniel Johns, yeah.
And the other two?
I feel like
you don't have to lie to me, the other two,
Daniel
all right?
Daniel Johns does have to lie to you and is choosing to.
Wow.
And that's fine with me, quite frankly. That's between you and Johns. So what do you think of that? About that? This thing that comes to Netflix.
I'm not interested, but... Yeah,
cool. People like him.
Yep.
And maybe they'll even make at least one.
They might make...
Because I feel like there's been a few times where they've started this and then gone, we're tired.
Look, I like Greta Gerwig as a filmmaker very much, and if she can get a bunch of money to do this and then maybe make one and then they cancel the other one, but she's got a bunch of money and she can go do the project she's interested
something
in.
Something you like.
Yeah.
Barbie 2.
Barbie 2.
Oppenheimer 2.
Oh.
Yeah. Mason, you were talking about Simu Liu before.
I was.
And he did an AMA on Threads, which you might be familiar with as a new social media sensation.
I am. Yeah. Instagram gave me a notification and it's like, 3,000 people want to talk to you on Threads. And I'm like, that seems like a lie.
No, because it's linked to Instagram. Yeah. So I think everybody does want to talk to you. I got it, Mason, because I'm always up to date.
Oh, yeah? How's that going for you?
I hate it. Yeah, I've looked at it 4 times and I hate it.
And it doesn't show you people you follow?
No, so like, why would I even look at this?
Yeah, no. And I was thinking about it, but then I read if you attempt to delete your Threads account, it also deletes your Instagram account.
Yes, that is true.
So that's great.
That is in the...
That's terrific.
The fine print.
Well, I love that.
Yeah, so there
That's
you go.
That's a fun little prank, and I got to respect it, if I'm honest.
Yeah, well, I have 3,800 followers, so I am killing you on this, mate.
Wow.
You got to catch up.
But I just said 3,800. Does it just give you 3,800
followers? No, it's because it's linked to Instagram or whatever. So if anybody who has Threads on that will carries over, your followers carry over
it.
People who get it.
You know, I hate it.
I agree.
Good.
Yeah. But don't you want to see Twitter killed by... Instagram slash Meta.
No, I want Twitter killed.
Yeah.
Just straight up.
Yep.
And then I want somebody to smack my phone out of my hand whenever I try to check anything in my daily life.
Yeah. Okay.
And they go, smell a flower.
Yeah.
You know.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's
actually nice. I like Twitter as a platform. Not now.
I mean, because now if you can skip. There's time codes. You can't, Mason. We're doing.
Yeah, we're doing this live.
When you click on, you know, like a big tweet, the first
100 replies.
At least.
Yeah.
I just blue check fucking dorks who have nothing to say.
Yeah. But they've got to say it though, don't they? Because they paid for it.
Yeah.
But it's you got to scroll and scroll and scroll and scroll.
To find someone who's just like awful.
Back in the day, you'd click a big tweet and there'd be a bunch of other jokes, interesting things that rose organically to the top. And now it's just people going, well, I think that too.
I mean, it's not also like Meta now, because they have Instagram, they have Facebook. If they take this Twitter place, which is possible, I guess. Oh, good work on shaking up that drink and then opening that drink, Mason.
Thanks.
No, I was being sarcastic.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's fine, probably. Do you have a serviette?
I've saved the day because I save all my serviettes.
Why do you do that?
For this exact situation.
Because you're a grub.
Yeah, because I'm a grub.
Yeah, because like Meta will then own like all of these social media platforms.
That's
and
right.
I don't know if anybody has noticed, but Meta is awful.
No, I think they're cool.
And they reckon they're not going to do anything like with it monetarily until they get to like 3 billion users or whatever it
okay,
is.
Okay, great. Also, a significant portion of the population.
Might be a billion.
Planet.
I can't remember. It was okay. A lot. And right. I don't even believe that. I don't believe anything.
Wow.
And nothing is good. Wow. Anyway, Mason, here's something that might be good when it comes out.
Go on.
Simuliu.
This podcast.
Yeah. Did an AMA on Threads.
God, what a legendary situation we're in, James. I opened up a sugar-free soda and it sort of fizzed everywhere.
Yeah.
God, people are going to be talking about this for years to come.
Probably right.
What a time.
And he was asked about Shang-Chi too.
Oh, yeah?
And he said, he's in Barbie. He's doing big movies.
That's right.
Said, it would release after another Avengers movie, but that keeps pushing back due to circumstances beyond my control.
Mm.
I hope to have more concrete news to share soon. So the next Avengers movie is apparently Avengers the Kang Dynasty in 2026.
Yes.
So it will be after that.
That's quite a long time.
If they even call it the Kang Dynasty and not another bloke dynasty.
That's right.
That's all still playing out at the moment.
Yes.
So that's why there's been no Shang-Chi 2, which is kind of bizarre because that people liked that movie.
People liked it. It did well, yep.
Yeah, so, you know.
Yeah.
But who am I to say anything?
And it's also, I mean, you know, it feels like as a, you know, the central protagonist isn't a guy in a billion-dollar armored suit that you have to visual effects over.
No.
It's a guy who's good at martial arts. Surely that is a cheaper, easier proposition. Or a guy who turns into a big green monster or whatever.
Well, I guess at the end of that movie, I don't know if you know, like they took the area that they were fighting in and it wasn't on green screen and they put it in a different grey arena or whatever.
Oh.
Do you remember at the end how they're fighting in a quarry or whatever?
Oh, yeah, I do remember that, yeah.
Yeah, yep. You know the worst bit of the movie?
Oh, yeah, that bit, the end bit.
Yeah.
The bit we all left remembering the most.
Yeah. I know you liked the tram bit, Mason.
Bus fight, sure.
Yeah, the bus fight, et cetera. So there you go. Look forward to that if it ever happens. Mason.
Go on.
This is by THR.
We're keeping it positive,
James. We are.
We're saying if it ever happens.
If it ever happens.
It's probably going to happen.
This is Deadpool 3 news. Skip ahead if you don't want any spoilers.
Mm.
But apparently, we'll say them at the same time.
Okay.
Who is the person you heard is in this week?
Okay, 3, 2, 1.
One, Elektra, what were you going to say?
Jennifer Garner.
Oh, that's different.
Right. Yep, different.
We had different things to say.
That's true, yeah.
I saw some other ones, but I don't want to every week be like, now this person is in it, now this person is in it, now. So
okay,
we'll talk about this one.
Okay. But bearing in mind, that's content.
That is content, but you know. Maybe a little.
But you'd be content not to use that content.
That's true. Thank you for saying that. So for those people who don't know, I mean, if you listen to this, you probably know. There was a Daredevil movie in 2003 starring Ben Affleck.
Yes.
And Jennifer Garner was in it. It's where they met
yeah.
and fell in love for a time.
That's right.
And she played Elektra.
Mm.
And then at the end of that movie, she was stabbed by Colin Farrell.
That's right.
Not in real life.
That's right. In an acting capacity.
It was in an acting capacity.
The character of Bullseye.
In an act capacity.
Mm.
And then she got a spin-off movie.
Yeah, Dead Elektra. Stabbed Elektra. They pushed her around on a gurney to various exotic locales. Like, can you assassinate this Yakuza boss?
That's
and
right.
And then there's nothing. And another guy was like, dude, I think she's dead.
But anyway, she came back. She came alive.
That's true. And she fought
a guy who had tattoos that came to life.
Yeah.
In a movie called Elektra from 2005. And if you've ever seen this movie,
I have.
It's dreadful.
It is dreadful.
Dreadful movie. But she, I like a lot.
Yep.
So, you know, why not bring every person who's ever been in a good or bad movie?
Mm. Do you think this will be an extended role or do you think it'll be in the style of Deadpool 2 where the Weapon X guys show up or the X-Force guys show up and they're all immediately killed?
I have no idea. I don't know what this movie is doing.
That's right.
Is it
going
to be an endgame scenario where all the portals open and every person who's been
in
a Fox movie
ever? It might be a portal
parody.
Is it? If they'd done that the next year,
a
portal parody scene, I'd be like, all right, very current. But now I'm just like, all right, that seems a little dated, honestly.
Well,
maybe.
Speaking of dated, this is a multiverse scenario from all the people we've heard who potentially are or could be in this movie.
Yeah, right. Uh-huh.
How are you feeling about multiverses at the moment?
I'm sick of them.
I mean, because there was a good one.
There was a good one.
It was a really good one.
Yeah.
And then there was a dreadful one.
I mean, I would say generally I like multiverse stuff. Like in the comics, I definitely do.
Yeah. You like when Reed Richards has got a really long head and he's evil and he's from the Ultimate Universe?
Yes, I do like that.
Cool, I like that too. We like the same things.
That's very true.
We have similar taste, basically.
That's right. Mm. Why don't we get along then?
I don't know. It's infuriating.
Yeah.
I think it's you, though. It's your personality.
It is my personality. Yeah, I don't know. It's interesting. I think it's easy to work in. I think it's easy to work in the comics because they come out every month, and you can wipe the slate clean every once in a while. But I don't know. No. Look, I'm maybe it'll be great. But again, I think as I've said, maybe even when we talked about Multiverse of Madness or Quantumania or something like that, that if you're in a multiverse, you have to. I think they need to establish some firm rules for the multiverse.
Yeah.
In terms of how many universes there are and crossing over multiverses and people exchanging places.
But in Deadpool, does it mean anything?
Doesn't mean anything.
Because remember, in one of the Deadpools, he opens the door and it's the X-Men from the 80s.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Or whatever. Mm-hmm. But he's in the modern day.
Yeah.
So will it matter?
Well, it doesn't matter. But I think I'm talking more in the MCU.
Yeah, sure.
In the
sense
of like.
Which this is, I guess, technically.
I mean, and as a big fan of DC's Crisis on Infinite Earths, James, you would know the reason they did.
That's why we don't get a lot.
That's exactly right. The reason they did Crisis on Infinite Earths is because the number of alternate universes was getting so.
It was causing a crisis within the offices of DC.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, okay.
There were too many universes to keep track of, and it's. And it, look, I even hate to bring this up, James, but you remember that episode of Rick and Morty where Rick and Morty's.
He turned into a pickle, yeah. That's probably one of the most famous episodes.
That is a good episode.
Yeah.
Bigger Rick.
Remember?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Bigger Rick, bitch.
You've got that t shirt that you got in a loot crate.
That's right.
Go on.
I did get a Rick and Morty t-shirt at Loot Crate once. Do you remember the episode where Morty tries to make a love potion and he mutates everybody on the planet into
like
these
one
horrible
of the early ones?
Yeah, and these horrible monsters. And rather than fix the situation, Rick and Morty simply go to a parallel universe where only they have died.
Yes.
And they just replace the death, and then the life has just moved on.
Yeah.
That's kind of the dilemma we're in, where it's like.
Absolutely.
Oh, with this character, their whole family died. Well, let's just move him to another parallel universe where only they died, and that'll be fine.
Well, that was the Kingpin's goal in the first Spider-Verse movie.
It
as
was,
well.
Yeah.
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 There's also been a theory that every movie and show in Phase 4 is in a different dimension.
I have not heard that.
But my question is,
yes,
why?
And does it matter?
Like, what would that mean?
What would that prove? Like, what is the evidence
for
that?
This was a different dimension. How different? Just, very similar, actually.
Very similar. Is it just continuity errors that people have picked up on?
That bad green screen, you know how we rushed out this episode? That's because it was in a different universe.
Yeah. Oh, my God, on that street scene, petrol's $4 a gallon, and this one it's $3.80.
Whoa.
That must be in separate universes.
But petrol tanks are smaller? What does that mean?
I don't know, about the same. Okay. People don't notice. But here's what I'm saying is that it ultimately is, you need to establish the rules. Otherwise, it's sort of pointless because if someone dies, you can just go to another universe and get another version of them.
And then you close it off.
Yeah, yeah.
You shut it down.
If there's infinite number of universes, you have the problem of, well, there's on the one hand, there's infinite number of worlds to save.
Yeah.
And that is too much. And at a certain point you go, well, if a billion universes dies, it doesn't matter because there's still infinite numbers left. And it also has the problem of, and again, the DC Universe had this, if there's a problem Superman can't handle, he can just go into a bunch of parallel universes, get another 100 Supermen, and they can help him.
Yeah.
But there's also 100 other Lex Luthers, et cetera.
We'll help him too.
We'll help him too.
Yeah.
Well, the friendly ones.
The friendly universes.
So it just becomes unwieldy, which is why DC ultimately went to 52 alternate universes, which I think is where it currently stands, but I don't know. But I think they got to do that.
You know what I was doing the other day?
What's that?
Speaking of multiverses.
Okay.
I was at the pub. I was at a local publican. Is that what they're called? Yeah.
Yes.
I was having a drink with a few of my mates.
The fellas.
The fellas, the boys, my boys.
Yeah, your boys,
And such. Mm-hmm. Anyway, they were.
Now, why do you get along with them and not with me?
I don't get along with them.
Oh my God, you're right. Starting to think it's a you problem.
No, it's everybody else.
Oh, wow.
Anyway,
if you meet it, well, you know what they say, if you meet an arsehole, well, you met an arsehole, but if you meet arseholes all day, it's their problem. It's not your problem, it's their problem.
I'm going to make it their problem.
Yeah, that's right.
So they'll ask you about Indiana Jones and what's it like, and I'm like, it's fine. Like,
they said, we're normies.
Yeah.
Please let us know about Indiana Jones.
And they didn't know it was out or whatever.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And like, how was it like? And I'm like, I liked elements of it. I didn't love it. They're like, what was that bit? Like, is he young in it? I'm like, he's at the start, but, and they're like, what? And I'm explaining, I'm not going to spoil it here. I'm explaining the third act and they're just like, what do you mean? What? and then I'm like, I don't know. It's like a thing that's happening. There's like weird stuff in movies, like that Flash movie that came out. And they're like, when? When was there a Flash movie?
Yeah.
I'm like 3 weeks ago.
And they're like, did they say, you mean that guy that says Shazam?
No, they don't, that's another thing they don't know. And I said, yeah, because Michael Keaton. No, because I said, I basically said that it failed, I think. One of the reasons, there's a lot of reasons, was because Harrison Ford is 80 years old and he was Indiana Jones a million years ago. Mm. And so nobody knows or cares.
Yeah.
And like, it's like how Michael Keaton's Batman again. And they were like, Michael Keaton's Batman again. Mm. And I'm like, yeah. And they go, when? And they go, 3 weeks ago. Right, and yeah. They go, in a Batman movie. And I said, no. Great. And then I basically, beat by beat, not because I wanted to, I explained.
You had to expel it out. You had to share the curse like you're showing somebody the video from The Ring.
And they were asking, so I wasn't just doing it. Because I don't talk about movies that much.
It's like they're watching the video for The Ring and they're like, well, play a bit more. Play a bit more of this.
What's after this?
Oh my God.
And I basically took them through the plot beat by beat.
Yeah.
And they were like, what are you talking about? Like, is this real? And I'm like, no, it's real. And they're like, I don't get it.
Is this one of those algorithmically generated YouTube videos for kids?
And I'm going to spoil the ending of The Flash, okay, if you haven't seen it, and you probably haven't. No, if you listen to this, you've probably seen it, or you've been spoiled. And then they're like, so who's Batman? And I'm like, because Robert Pattinson's Batman. I'm like, no, he's Batman in a different dimension. You know, the Christian Bale, it's like that. And they're like, oh, I like that one. I'm like, yeah, I know, it's because it's good.
Uh-huh.
And they said, so who's Batman? And I'm like, okay, so it's George Clooney. And they're like, what are you talking? And I'm like, okay. So
initially it's Ben Affleck, yeah, and then it's Michael Caine.
And they're like, is Ben Affleck still Batman? I'm like, well, no, not anymore. Because he was replaced by Michael Keaton, he was replaced by George Clooney.
I'm starting to think the general population are not super au fait with the concept of multiverses and different characters, different versions of characters existing in different universes.
So I suspect this is one of the reasons why this movie is not doing well.
Because,
like, explaining them to, like, also, I wasn't selling it, obviously.
Right.
Like, I wasn't trying to, but they were just like, that sounds awful. And I'm like, yeah, well, a lot of people are saying that. Not you, Mason.
No. Wait, which movie were you talking about?
That was The Flash.
Oh, yeah. I thought it was fun.
Yeah, okay. So that was that. We'll talk a bit about The Flash in a sec, but trailers, not ahoy. The boat has sunk,
Mason. The boat has sunk, yes.
This is via Bespin Bulletin and Making Star Wars. This is normally the segment of the show where we talk about a trailer that came out.
Oh.
But there was supposed to be an Ahsoka footage that came out. It was at a CinemaCon or whatever recently. I don't know.
Coming at Comic-Con. An Ahsoka footage.
Ooh, look at it. What color are these lightsabers? Now, apparently, again, according to the Bespin Bulletin and Making Star Wars, it was supposed to be released on one of the platforms. It was Twitter, but because of the state of Twitter.
The state of it.
It limits what you can see in the platform's instability. They didn't release it this week.
Good call.
So a lot of people were like, where's that footage?
And they could have put it on YouTube.
Yeah, I know. But Twitter's like, you know, you get a trending.
It is very cool.
But now when people can only read like 9 tweets a day, even if that's still a thing.
I don't use
Twitter, so I don't know. Is it? I don't even know.
It was for me for like, well, it wasn't even, I didn't get an error message, but for like,
it stopped scrolling or whatever.
Yeah, for like 8 hours or something.
God, I love
it stopped scrolling.
This fucking show has just been like, so this horrible brand ruined another horrible brand.
What if we got them to fight? I guess that's what Twitter and Meta are doing, yeah. I guess.
So there you go. So that didn't come out because of that very reason, but so expect that anytime soon. So that's the trailer's not ahoy for this week. They've got a new segment where I'm like, here's something that didn't happen.
But you know what? There's so much to that, isn't there? We can put almost anything in that.
That's true. You know? That's right.
We just think of things that didn't happen this week and, you know.
It's almost.
Hot dogs didn't fall from the sky.
Well,
isn't that a wonderful image?
Hot dogs, the contestant from Australian Big Brother.
Precisely. He didn't fall from the sky.
2006 or whatever
that's
it was.
That's right, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
That's good news for him.
I agree.
His real name was Simon. Mason.
Simon Hot Dogs.
I don't think his last name was Hot Dogs.
Okay. Hot Dogs Simon.
No, I think it was his nickname was Hot Dogs.
Don't you dare Google that. You're considering Googling it, and it's not worth it.
You saw my answer.
It's not worth it.
This is why we sometimes get along, because you save me from doing silly things.
Because it's going to push something out of your brain, and you're going to forget something tomorrow. You're going to forget to pick one of your kids up from school or whatever, because you're like, oh, Hot Dogs real neighbors.
Simon something.
Yeah.
I'll Google it after I pick up my kids.
Okay.
So Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny in its second week fell 58% to 25 to 28 million.
Which
for
again,
the weekend.
I think
that's not a horrible fall if a movie did really well.
And generally speaking, the drop off is pretty rapid. Like people will see.
Yeah.
But, you know, but, and again, as I think we've certainly pointed out, it's done, like, in terms of gaining, in terms of getting tens of millions of dollars of ticket sales,
yeah,
it's done quite well. Like, as an opening, I think it's one of the best Indiana Joneses. Like, it's up there.
What?
Isn't it?
In terms of sale, I didn't hear that.
Okay. Is
that
it not?
True?
Yeah, I think it might be.
Okay.
But, I mean, I think that's, you know, that's probably not factoring in inflation, but also it's not factoring in that the movie cost $300 million.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, if this were a cheaper movie, it'd be doing all right, I
but
guess.
But even if it did cost what, like, the last one cost, it's still, it is the lowest opening Indiana Jones movie by quite a lot.
Oh, it is? Okay.
And the decline also, this decline of 58% would be the biggest drop-off in the franchise's history.
So it's all bad.
So you know this franchise that's over.
Yeah, yeah.
It's definitely,
definitely
over.
Definitely over. Well, look, I got bad information there. I thought it was maybe not over.
No. I mean, it might spin off into other things, but they're not going to, I mean, if this did really well, they would go, maybe we could do another one. They would absolutely consider it, but now they're not.
Should we get the guy that doubles for Harrison Ford that looks exactly like a young Indiana Jones? No. We can't do that.
Sean Patrick
Flannery. He might become popular.
Oh, okay. Can't do that. No, we don't want that. Oh, Alden Ehrenreich you're talking about.
Oh, the other guy. He's
Anthony and Gruber?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
He looks quite similar to him.
And he does the voice?
He does the voice, yeah.
Cool. So, yeah, anyway, that's all bad.
Mm-hmm.
Again, 58% drop off is good if your movie makes $200 million in its opening week.
Yeah, that's a
terrific drop off.
That's true.
But other than that,
because then you've made almost $300 million.
Exactly. Mm. Speaking of big bombs, Mason, I'm not just talking about Oppenheimer.
Oh yes, I'm talking about this movie that's gonna
this Forbes came out and they said, listen, we talk money and numbers.
That's right. We're the big dogs when it comes to talking money and numbers.
That's right. And they said The Flash is the biggest comic book bomb in history. That's a big deal.
It is a big deal.
And you might be like, what are the others? They provide us with a list. So here
okay.
we go.
So we're factoring in stuff like, is this just of the modern era or is this like Captain America 1990?
This goes back to 2010.
Okay, right.
But yes, it's of.
Oh, okay, right. This would be a percentage. This isn't. This would be like
it's a percentage. It's budget related.
It's a multiple of the multiple of the budget, etc. So Captain America 1990 probably did poorly, but it cost $50,000.
Like Superman 4 did badly, but it didn't cost $300 million.
That's true.
Yeah. So at number 10, we've got Green Lantern. That lost $75 million.
Okay.
Which is a shame because that's actually a really bad movie.
Mm.
And they should have made a better movie and then it would have done better.
That's a great idea.
At number 9, we've got The New Mutants at $84 million.
Yep. Well, look, that was a victim of the pandemic and also it was bad.
Yeah.
And also, but it
and
had.
And they cut the.
Yeah.
They cut a lot. It seemed like it was missing 40 minutes of a movie. Just all the things that should happen in a movie.
And they fought a big magic bear.
That bit I liked.
But I think, I think that
it was a mind bear, wasn't it? It was a big mind. Someone dreamt a mind bear?
I think so, yeah. That it also would have done better, I think, had it come out when it was supposed to have come out because it had a bunch of young stars. It had
Anya Taylor-Joy and Game of Thrones and whatever.
Yeah, that was their attempt to kickstart, you know, a young...
Kickstart our hearts.
Exactly. But again, pandemic and also.
And it also came out after X-Men went back to whatever. And they were like, what do we do with this? And
that's true.
They filmed it in like 2007.
Yeah, yeah. And it was bad.
Bad, yeah. Next
but
up.
But I like how Magic had a big magic sword or whatever.
Yeah, that was okay.
I think. Yeah, yeah. Or at least a big psychic arm.
Something happened.
Some stuff happened.
We're all talking about it.
And maybe there was a guy in a mirror. You know, there's a guy in a wall or whatever. And it's like, and you're like, how do they do that? And then it's like, you just put rubber on the wall.
Yeah.
You poke your fingers through
That's
it.
True. Number 8, we had RIPD, $92 million.
Has anybody read the comic? Is that based on a comic? It must be.
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
These are comic book movies.
Yeah.
These aren't just movies, Mason.
Okay. I wonder if that's a cheat. I reckon that was probably a comic. I'm going to look it up. I bet that's one of those comics that was made with the express purpose of being converted into a.
Let me check. Who Hot Dog's real name?
No!
Started in 2003.
Okay.
So I don't think so.
Oh, yeah. All right. And there was a sequel, did you know that?
Yes, starring the guy from Burn Notice,
maybe? Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, cool. Next up, we've got Fantastic Four, $100 million. Doesn't specify which one, but I'm assuming it was 2015.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. At number 6, we have Black Adam.
Okay.
And that was negative $130 million.
Okay.
You still looking at RIPD?
Yes, what was that last one?
That one was Black Adam. No, it was Black Adam.
Yeah.
Then the Suicide was $100 million, negative $100 million. Number 5, we had The Suicide Squad, which was 130, which was pandemic related and whatever.
Yeah.
Number 4 was Dark Phoenix, which was negative $133 million.
That was bad.
Next up was Wonder Woman 1984, which was negative $137 million. Again, pandemic.
And it was bad.
Next up was number 2 with Shazam Fury of the Gods with negative $150 million.
No, that's a lot.
And coming in, you think that's a lot. Coming in at number 1, Was The Flash with negative $200 million.
No.
Yeah.
No.
No, yes, Mason.
Wow. So if that was a... If they'd made a $200 million movie and nobody bought any tickets, it still would have it would have broken even.
Yes. Wow. Well, they've talked about The Flash and they said if they just released it on HBO Max, they would have lost less money because they wouldn't have marketed it.
That's true.
Yeah. Anyway, you might be wondering, what's the trend here?
What's the future of The Flash in the DCU?
Well, there's six DC movies on this list out of 10.
Uh-huh.
And then there's a couple of X-Men movies. Yeah. And then there's no MCU movies yet.
Yeah, right. Uh-huh.
But I feel like that's going to change
okay.
in the near future. But, I mean, again, some of these are pandemic related. But my God.
Mm.
Like, and I know people are saying, like, this latest trend, like the Flash bombing is because of, like, the Ezra Miller situation and whatever. Uh-huh. But if you look at the DC trend, it's been bad for years.
For years, yeah.
Mm-hmm. The DCEU stuff, not Joker and the Batman. It's not, I mean, they might have bombed for slightly different reasons, but it's not.
Yeah.
Things have not been good. This isn't true. New. I'm not surprised.
I would like to see these in the larger context of just blockbuster movies in general.
Do you want me to email Forbes?
If you could email Forbes.
Yeah.
Be like, hey, losers, you missed out on every other movie.
What does this mean in relation to Waterworld?
That's exactly right.
And The Postman to Kevin Costner
and
movies.
And RIPD 2.
Yes, that's right. Exactly.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Brands, though.
Brands.
Got an article here from The New Yorker. I'm not going to read all of it.
Okay.
Though I did read all of it.
Now, Forbes are the big dogs when it comes to numbers and finance and currency.
Yeah.
New York is all about brunch.
Brunch. There's maybe a cartoon where a dog's walking into a bank.
They're like, I can't believe, look at this freaking dog.
Kill that dog.
Whoa.
The bank, no dogs in the bank.
He might want to rob the bank. Shoot it. And that's how you win the caption contest. No?
That's right. So
bang, bang, bang. Dead dog.
Basically, like I saw this news this week that Mattel are bringing 45 brands to the big screen.
Are you reading directly from the article there?
No.
Some guy going, I saw this news.
I saw this news this week. I don't know. And I went, oh, that's dumb. And then I went, you know, and I...
The dumb universe.
And then I obviously...
This is the dawning of the dumb universe.
And I went back to the original article and I'm like, I guess I'll just skim this to see what brands.
Yeah.
And then it sucked me into it.
Oh, yeah.
And the article is just, it's not nice. It's very, very catty. Like you might act, say, if you're a dog, to a dog walking into a bank.
Yeah.
Oh, and the bank teller's a cat. There we go.
Nice, nice.
And that's how you win.
My natural enemy, I'm shooting you.
I'm shooting this dog because I'm a cat.
Bang, 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 bang. I hate Mondays. I have to work at a bank.
Two guns?
Yeah.
He's doing two guns.
Yeah.
Anyway, so here's some of the news and just stop me whenever you want to say something.
All right.
But don't interrupt, obviously.
Okay. Yeah.
Put your hand up.
Okay.
So 45 brands. Okay, this is off the back of Barbie, which isn't out yet.
Not out yet.
But it seems to be going in a good direction.
But is this a Morbius-style trick that the public are playing on this company?
I don't think so. I think people are jazzed.
I think they are jazzed, but I think maybe it's a sort of a different strand of the same thing. I think people are jazzed and they're putting the memes and they're doing Barbenheimer and they're doing all this sort of stuff. But some people are also wondering, is this going to be a sort of a fun skewering of consumerism and whatever, and it's a fun adventure and all that? Or is it just... the first bit's fun and then she goes in the real world and it's just running around and we go, this was fine.
Yeah, okay.
And then it doesn't do that well.
Oh.
Well, sorry. Sorry to burst your bubble, but I did put my hand up.
I just
and you pointed, so I thought I'd burst your bubble and ruin your day.
Anyway, so they're putting the cart before the horse.
Yeah, they absolutely are.
Some of the things that they're looking at making.
Yes.
Hot Wheels. Matchbox.
Okay, so two cars. Two cars, but separate.
Two generic. One's got a track. One's on a track.
Yeah, Hot Wheels are primarily like...
They'll do a ramp and a jump and a loop.
But Matchbox, you just put them on your shelf or whatever.
Yeah, and you go, wow, I've got a Ferrari or whatever. That's right.
Yeah, a little one. Like, but they're the same size, Hot Wheels and Matchbox?
Yeah, pretty much. And some work on the others, then they sometimes can...
No idea.
Doesn't matter.
But I guess we do three Matchbox car movies and three Hot Wheels movies. Then you combine them. You do Matchbox X Hot Wheels.
X Vin Diesel. Yeah. But often these movies also, these brands also, they have brands within them. They'll be like the Mario Kart Hot Wheels, the whatever Hot Wheels.
Yeah, true. Yeah. Let me ask you this.
Yes.
Do you think this is going to be, it's a real life racing adventure with characters, or do you think it's just going to be some sort of animated thing where it's just like, it's like cars?
They don't know.
I don't think they know
and
either.
And we'll get to why.
And we're giving them free ideas is what we're doing here, but that's fine.
Yeah. Polly Pocket.
Yeah, okay, I don't really know.
He-Man.
Oh, is Polly Pocket the one?
It's Mighty Max, but it's...
I don't know what that is either.
It's but a little...
They have a little thing.
It's a little clam and you open it.
Yeah,
you open it
up and it's like a little house and they've got a little guy in there. Mm. Yeah, I know that stuff.
Excellent. He-Man.
Yep, sure. What did we watch recently?
Maybe for Carry Around the Garbage, maybe. Mm. It's the movie He-Man.
Well, it's the movie Masters of the Universe.
It's the movie Masters of the Universe.
That's right.
Don't tell anyone, that's a spoiler.
Mm-hmm.
Bob the Builder.
Okay, sure.
Rock Them, Sock Them Robots.
Got to rock and then sock them.
They did that, though, didn't they? The Hugh Jackman one.
Real Steel, sure. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't branded as Rock Them, Sock
branded.
Them Robots.
That was silly of me to say. Magic 8-Ball.
It's going to be a curse. It'll be a horror movie, right? It'll be a cursed 8-Ball.
Maybe.
Am I going to die? Yeah, you're going to die.
Oh, no. American Girl. It's a doll, I assume.
Yeah, I guess, probably, yeah.
It's Barbie, though, again. If it is. I don't
is
know.
It?
What. I don't know. Uno.
Cursed cards.
No, hold that one.
Magic cards?
Keep
Zathura.
That in. We have a synopsis.
Hold you've
that
got
one
a synopsis.
I don't.
Okay.
This is their idea.
Wow, okay. So this guy was like, their boss was like, you've got to come up with some solid synopses for some of these or you're fired.
Yeah.
You've got to do three or four.
So.
You can't just list the names of stuff we already own and I'll applaud you. You've got to come up with some ideas for some of
you're
this.
You've got to figure
otherwise, it's just going to be you reading off the Wikipedia page of stuff we own.
The last one that they've listed is ViewMaster.
Mm.
These are things they've either started to develop in the past or looking to.
Okay.
ViewMaster, if you don't know, which you probably don't. Let's be real.
Yeah, it was
a thing you looked through.
Virtual reality.
Yeah, no, it wasn't.
Interesting.
You looked through a little set of, oh, you mean as a movie?
No, I just meant, I was making fun of it.
Oh, okay.
And you, by extension.
Oh, you didn't put your hand up, so I reject that. You look through it.
Yes.
You look through like a binocular.
And there's a little clicky
it's
thing.
It's a little click thing. And it's like a little slideshow.
Mm.
And you can be like, look at the ocean. Or,
that's right.
Now I'm in a forest.
Yeah,
now
yeah,
I'm
yeah.
looking at a picture of a forest.
Yeah.
It's thrilling. Make a good movie.
One of them do a bloody ViewMaster reel as somebody's bloody brunch.
Yeah. How is that better than a phone as a toy?
It's not. I don't think so. No.
How is
that's
it
all they had.
Mate, fucking running is better than that. And I hate running.
Ha ha. So what do you think that will be? Do you think that will be...
Nothing. They're not going to make that.
No, they're not going to be... Let's give them some free ideas then. They're obviously not, because this Barbie isn't going to do as well as they think
it's going
to do. All
right, okay. It's a thing where you jump into different worlds.
Yes, it is. It absolutely
You're
is.
You're welcome. Yeah, there right. you go.
Animated or live action?
A mixture.
Nice.
Hate it.
Is the Viewmaster going to be a thing that talks?
It's magic or whatever. It's like Jumanji.
Does it talk?
Yeah. It goes, hi, kids. Fucking let's go, whatever. Where do you want to go?
So it's
I'm magic.
But it's also tired of doing
I'm tired and magic, yeah. And I haven't even been doing it for years. This is my first day.
This is my first day out of the box, actually. And quite frankly, I'm sick of it.
So this is by the New Yorker, where this is one of the many quotes. It says, Mattel insists that its films aren't designed to boost toy sales, but the corporate synergy is undeniable.
Oh, that is very shrewd of them. That's very... Well, of course...
It's undeniable.
There's nothing you can do... Like, even if the Viewmaster movie was a roaring success with the Magic Viewmaster, I guess you just reissue the Viewmaster, but then kids will be like, all right, click, 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 click. All right, we're done. Can I use your phone?
Yeah.
Can I borrow your phone? I want to look. Do you have games on your phone?
Can I borrow your phone? I'm mad at you. I'm going to smash it for you giving me that Viewmaster.
I'm going to find the refund policy on the online store you bought the Viewmaster because I want the money back.
I'm also divorcing you.
Yeah.
So that's good. So here's some of the ideas they've got going. There's a whole group of minds behind this.
Oh, yeah, that's
And they're
right.
paying writers to do this. So Daniel Kaluuya is working on an A24-style Barney movie. Now, what I guess I like about that is they're not all going to be a toy does a thing.
Right.
Like it can be, you can do a weird, dark, whatever. They okay. won't. They won't make that. This won't happen.
Also, Robin Williams did Death to Smoochie. Do you remember that?
Yes.
It's the same principle, I think.
Good point. Mm. I mean, I would love to see a Daniel Kaluuya Barney movie.
Yeah, sure. Okay.
Would
he be Barney or would he be running from Barney?
Or to Barney. Mm. To kill him. here's another bit
In
that
a
happened.
Bank.
So when they were there, there was a short video that was played.
Okay.
It's described here, it's an uncomfortable video in which J.J. Abrams struggled to describe the new franchise of Hot Wheels becoming a movie.
Right.
And the quote is from him, for a long time we were talking to Mattel about Hot Wheels.
Okay.
And we couldn't quite find the thing that clicked that made it worthy of what Hot Wheels, that title, deserved.
Yes.
Then we came up with something emotional and grounded and gritty, brackets, a script is yet to materialize.
That's wonderful. It's grounded and gritty. Okay. Well, that suggests to me it's not animated unless it's adult animation.
Yeah, sure.
You know.
I love how they're like, check out this promo. So we thought about it and we eventually did come up with something.
Mm.
What is it? We haven't written it yet.
We haven't written it, but if we were to say that it's just we show the cars and they drive around, people wouldn't be interested. But if we say it's emotional and grounded and gritty, maybe people will watch it.
Absolutely.
That's great.
So
I think maybe one of the things they're forgetting is that the whole point of Barbie is the kids had Barbie and they
remember it.
They socialized with Barbie and Barbie had, and you know, there's an emotional connection to that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And I guess with a lot of this, it's just like, oh yeah, you know?
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah. Like if you had a Matchbox car, you're like, oh, I've got the Ford Mustang. And then you're a grown up, you're like, I'll buy a Ford Mustang. You like the car more than the...
That's a really good point. You're right. You're not buying it because you're like, oh, God, yeah. God.
Because it's just cars.
it's just little cars. It's just cars.
Are they little cars and they come to life?
Well, that's cars then, isn't it? That's just seeing a car.
No, but they're still little.
Okay.
They're still little. It's like small soldiers.
But there's nobody in them?
There's nobody in them. They just drive around.
Great.
Yeah. An AI gets into them or whatever, an algorithm gets into them and they drive around.
Yeah. So this is where we get into Uno.
Okay.
So Agent Jeremy Barber, who's from the United Talents Agency.
Okay, so this isn't a movie about Agent Jeremy Barber.
No, this is Uno related.
Okay.
This is what Jeremy Barber was saying.
Okay.
Look, my kid...
They've courted him in a lift. He was about to leave and somebody stopped the door by putting their hand in there and he's like, look...
Look.
Jeremy, we need one solid idea. And he's like, look. All right, go ahead.
Look, my kids and I played Uno every night during the pandemic.
I think you're adding some aggression there.
Sorry, it should be excited. Look, my kids and I played Uno every night during the pandemic. I love it. Is there an Uno movie? I don't know.
There's not, Jeremy?
No, there is.
Oh.
Because here we go. So Marcy Kelly was brought in as the writer for the Uno movie. And she was sent a slide deck for some inspiration of what to do.
So that's like a
Like, here's some inspirational
PowerPoint
or whatever, okay, and like right. this.
And it'd be like emotional, nostalgia,
yeah.
Whatever. Okay, yeah.
Brand synergy. And apparently it highlighted how cross-cultural the game is and funny things about how seriously people take it. And little seeds for things to work into a movie, including a meme of Beyonce holding Uno cards.
Oh, hell yeah.
The mandate... I love that. Just a meme. Just put a meme. Yeah, yeah. Beyonce.
We can get Beyonce in there.
We can't. Imagine if we did, though.
What if we did, though?
We won't. Nah. She hasn't done a movie since Austin Powers or whatever. Yeah. Oh, she did Dreamgirls or whatever. The mandate, inexplicably in relation to the Uno movie, mm-hmm. was for a heist movie. So Kelly got to work.
Okay, right? Great. Yeah, great. Good.
The script she emerged with wasn't quite what Mattel had in mind. Mm. She'd set Uno in Atlanta's hip-hop scene. The first draft that I sent in was fuck heavy, she recalls sheepishly. An executive flagged every instant of the obscenity in the screenplay. It was something like 50 pages, she said, and then the next draft had one. Fuck, that is.
Oh, yeah,
I got my one well-placed PG-13 fuck in the Uno heist movie set in the Atlanta
hip-hop scene. Was she watching a lot of Atlanta at the time?
Great question.
On FX?
Great question.
Yeah.
Now,
Uno. I mean, if you're going to do it, you do it.
Magic set of cards?
No, I was going to say, based on the initial thing you said there, I was going to say it's about competitive Uno. It's like a set of competitive Uno, and you get Vince Vaughn and you get Owen Wilson. You bring those two, that winning team back.
Make it a Wedding Crashers. That movie they worked at Google sequel.
Exactly, that's okay. Right, yes.
Like a high-stakes Uno game.
This is their new thing, their Uno guys.
I don't mind
that idea. You could call it Uno guys.
Uno guys.
Mm, that's right.
Fucking Uno guys.
That's right. That's right.
So it says if Kelly sometimes struggled to please Mattel, the executives didn't always seem to know what they wanted either.
Why is it in the hip-hop scene, though?
I think I think they sent Beyonce and it was probably in the memes or whatever. So they went, I guess.
Okay.
That's hip-hop, right?
Maybe there's a value. Is there one? There's no collectible Uno
card.
Can
you imagine like a rap battle and someone's like, I'll reverse it on you. Now you do a rap.
Sure, yeah.
About the number 7, blue.
And the guy's like, I'm just a cashier here at the toy shop.
Do a rap.
I'm going to get my manager. They can do a rap.
So,
hey, boss, there's another guy here who wants to do a rap on you. You have to do a rap back at him.
Yes, he had the reverse card.
I'm going on break.
Not long after we spoke, her Uno script was set aside.
On fire. It was set on fire.
Yeah, and one day writer's room took another run at the concept. A heist, Mattel reasoned.
Okay.
Might be the way forward after all.
Great.
So you're doing a heist. Mm. You go up to security guard. They say you can't come through here.
Oh.
You drop a skip. You shoot them with a gun.
Nice. Then they have to let you in.
you've skipped them.
Yeah.
And they've skipped into the next life. What do you think?
I love that.
So the cards reflect reality.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's great.
What do you think?
I think that's cool.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, given the choice between somebody coming up with an original heist movie.
Yeah.
You know, with good performances and innovative, mechanics and fun twists.
Maybe there's
turns.
Like a 3D map and then the map transitions to the real life.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But rather than that, I'd just rather have a heist that is just has a really obvious product placement for Uno in it. I think that's good. Because that's synergy and I love that.
Would this like, if they did the heist, would the Uno cards have properties? Or would what would you use them
well,
for?
Well, I was picturing a valuable Uno card that they have to steal.
I mean, is there?
But you're saying
thing?
somebody's perhaps had.
Is it a draw four? We need the draw four. I ought to get my brother out of prison. This is the card to do it.
Yeah. I got to draw my four brothers out of prison. obviously, we can have maybe an AI.
Yeah.
Imbues properties into the Uno cards, and then they can use the Uno cards in real life to do magical things.
Yeah,
that's cool. Yeah.
Can you see like a Now You See Me inspired? Do you think that's what they're thinking?
Yeah, that series that they did two of them and nobody particularly liked them.
Yeah. But cards though, right?
But cards though, yeah.
Yeah, okay, cool.
Good, really good.
So that's where we're at the moment with all these brands. Incredible. J.J. Abrams might be doing one.
Might be doing Hot Wheels or Matchbox cars.
Barney might be getting an A24-style horror movie.
And there might be this hip-hop heist with Uno cards somehow in it.
So there we go.
They're going to drop that. draw four or whatever. What's the one with all the colours on
it? Yeah, that's draw. There's draw four, where you can change the colour, and there's a regular colour where you can just change it, but nobody draws anything.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, cool. Nice. Draw two, guns, bang, bang, you know?
Yeah.
Cool.
Nice.
Wow, so there we go. We skip to the next segment of the show.
They could just integrate it into the next Bond movie. Instead of playing Texas Hold'em, he plays Uno.
Let's play a game we all know.
That's right.
Don't make me learn a different type of poker.
And there's a guy offside being like, he's got the draw four. This is for $1 million.
That's good, actually.
That's good.
That's what you want.
That's right. Yeah.
We forgot to say Uno. That's going to be, he's going to have to pick up.
He's forgot to say Uno, Le Chiffre.
My goodness.
I'm going to hit you in your Uno balls with this rope.
Do you know what it's time for?
What's it time for?
It's time for What We're Reading.
Is it?
Yeah.
That was quick.
Yeah, well, it's a shorter episode,
it
Mason.
It is a shorter episode.
Because I'm tired.
Yeah.
Because I'm tired, Mason.
It seems like you are tired,
but we're going to talk about some Harrison Ford stuff.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
Should we do the There'll Be a Theme song?
I love that.
There we go.
I'm doing a theme.
Whoa. We got here.
We did, it's true.
And that's the truth.
Yeah.
Mason, again, we're going to do some Harrison Ford stuff. And maybe we will when his next blockbuster comes out, Captain America, He's the Hulk or whatever.
That's right.
Whatever it's coming out.
Captain America, I don't know what I'm doing.
We've done a Keanu Reeves one. We did another one.
Yeah, that's right.
And maybe even a third one. Is it a Statham? I don't know.
No, I don't think
so. We did a couple, whatever they were.
That's right.
Broke down some filmographies.
Statham wishes we did a retrospective on his career.
That's true. And we will when he releases a third Meg movie.
That's right.
Well, I listen.
Meg with a three in it.
That's right. Threg. Threg.
So
you met Renton this last week, but Conan O'Brien's podcast, Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend, they brought in Harrison Ford for the latest episode.
They wheeled him in.
Yeah. And if you want like to hear Harrison Ford just be normal and not berated about Star Wars and who would win in a fight between the Millennium Falcon and the train.
You get Conan O'Brien, a guy who was absolutely not interested in any of those things, it seems. So
yeah. And it's just a really fun
It's a fun chat, isn't it?
And you get a better sense of who Harrison Ford is.
Yeah.
And what he's like.
Because there's enough time in this interview to actually get to some stuff that isn't like, what's the future for Indiana Jones?
Yeah.
What do you think's going on there?
They're just like, yeah, you got that movie coming out and whatever. Mm. Anyway, let's do some silly stuff. And he's quite funny as well. Like he's given the opportunity. And that's why he's funny in the movies where he's allowed to be funny.
Yeah, he's sharp. Yeah.
He's got a very dry wit about him.
Mm.
I do think the last 10 minutes kind of descends into a room full of people just not believing that Harrison Ford came in to do the podcast.
Oh, sure, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's true, yeah.
It's very good, though.
But I mean, I feel like even when that happens on Conan's podcast, it is like 1% of the energy you get from like an episode of Fallon.
Oh, absolutely,
like that,
yeah.
It's just like, oh, my God.
Oh, no, it's not like,
oh, my God, you're on Modern Family or whatever.
It's not awful.
Yeah, it's not awful.
It's very good and very funny. But we watched some Harrison Ford movies this week also.
That's true, we did.
We both watched the movie Witness.
We both watched Witness.
Which is from 1985-ish.
That's right, yeah.
And if you don't know what that movie is, it's where a kid, a little boy, a little Amish boy, witnesses a murder.
That's right.
And then Harrison Ford comes in and he goes, I'm a cop. I'm a good cop.
That's right.
Who? What murder did you witness? And the boy tells him.
Mm.
It turns out the witness.
He says, you're a witness.
You're
now.
A witness.
That's right.
And then the boy turns out he knows something too much.
Mm.
And Harrison Ford has to go undercover in hiding at this Amish community to protect this little boy.
I mean, he doesn't have to, but he gets shot and he has to recover in the Amish
community.
He crashes his car into the one.
The one thing.
The one birdhouse. Like he drops the kid and his mum off at the Amish community, and then he's like, I'm going to leave, but he's been shot and he's wounded.
Yep.
And then he just sort of, he drives off and you see him sort
wobbles
of
away.
Wobbles away and his car just drives into a field and then just hits like this one stick.
Absolutely.
Holding up
does.
A birdhouse.
Yeah. It's also got Kelly McGinnis, who you might know from first Top Gun.
I know her from the movie Witness.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
It's got Viggo Mortensen.
A young Viggo Mortensen. A very young and very blonde Viggo Mortensen.
And a very not saying much Viggo Mortensen.
That's right.
It's got Alexander Godunov, who you might know as one of the German terrorists in first Die Hard, among other things. It's got Danny Glover.
Daniel Glover.
As a cop.
Mm.
But maybe not one you want to be friends with.
Maybe one who does murders.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe he's the one who does the murder in the movie.
Maybe. He's the one that the witness witnessed.
That's right.
Yeah, potentially.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, one of the things this movie has... Oh, I recommend this, by the way.
This is Harrison Ford's one and only Oscar nomination, I believe. So this, I've got the nominees here.
Here we go.
So he was nominated for Witness. Also in the running that year, James Garner, this is actor in a leading role.
Yep.
James Garner for Murphy's Romance, never heard of it.
Don't know that.
Jack Nicholson for Pritzi's Honor, never heard
never
of
heard
it.
Never heard of that.
John Voight for Runaway Train, never heard of it.
Uh-huh.
And the winner was William Hurt for Kiss of the Spider Woman. I have seen Kiss of the
Spider Woman. We all know that one. No, yeah. I don't. What is it?
Oh, it's two guys in prison and they're telling each other stories.
They're all good actors.
Yes, for sure.
What's Kiss of the Spider Woman like?
Well, it's like a prison drama.
Prison drama? Prison Do they drama. Escape at the end?
No.
The drama?
Yeah, they escape the drama.
I just want some quiet from this drama.
That's right.
That you're creating.
They do. It's the movie goes for 2 hours. Then they're like, okay, now shh. Are you done?
Yeah.
Okay, because I was just waiting for you to stop. I'm going to sleep now.
Exactly. What I like about this movie is just seeing Harrison Ford. And he's not like a normal guy because he's like a good cop on the edge. Not even on the edge. But just seeing him be like, he's kind of understated in parts. Mm-hmm. He does some big Harrison Ford moments and there is some action in it and whatever.
There is a moment where he beats up a bunch of townies because he has to pretend to be Amish.
Yeah.
And so they're off. There's a scene
where yuck, let's make fun of Harrison Ford.
Yeah, they're all in the little Amish, the horse-drawn cart. And so these townies show up and they're like, we're going to daub some ice cream on you.
Yeah.
And he's like, and Harrison Ford gets up to do his Harrison Ford thing and the Amish are like, but that's not our way. And he's like, well, it's my way. And then he beats him up. And
then Indiana Jones shoots them all.
Oh, my God.
He shoots them one bullet through all of them. Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah. I can see why he got nominated for this, but it is kind of surprising he hasn't been nominated for other stuff because you look at, like, some of the other movies he's in.
What did he do immediately subsequent to this, I wonder? Let's have a look.
Let's go back and have
a look. Because I often wonder what a movie is, but I wonder what a loss, like not an Oscar win does to you.
Yeah.
Or even if you put in a career best performance and then you don't even get nominated. Like, what is that? Does that make you act harder or does it make you just go, I'm just going to go with the money now?
Okay, sure. Here's something you might not know. Oh. If you want a really understated performance that he does in an incredibly big movie.
Okay.
He's in The Conversation.
Oh,
he's got
a
scene with Gene Hackman.
That's right.
He's in Star Wars. I don't know if you've seen that one.
I've heard of it, yep.
Here's one that I don't think people have seen. I'm just going to quickly do this because why not, Mason?
Okay, all right.
But there's a movie called The Guns of Navarone. It's from the 60s or something.
Mm-hmm.
It's got like Gregory Peck and other people and Robert Shaw, I think.
In 1988, he was in the movie Frantic, which was popularized in the Bare Naked Ladies song 1 Week, where they say, like Harrison Ford, I'm getting frantic. Remember that?
Yeah. He is frantic. I thought that was just a reference to him being frantic in movies.
Well,
I didn't know it was
a
reference to a specific movie.
They're referring to his behavior in interviews.
So Harrison Ford is in a sequel to The Guns of Navarone called Force 10 from Navarone in 1978.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember really enjoying it.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently people are like, it's not as good as the original or whatever, but I remember being like, that's a war movie. This is pretty solid.
Uh-huh.
And it's not as good as the original, which is an incredible movie of that era.
Mm.
He's in Apocalypse Now, Mason.
Yeah.
So you rewatched The Fugitive.
I did rewatch The Fugitive.
How you feeling?
I loved it.
Yeah?
It was frantic, I would say.
Like Harrison Ford.
Like Harrison Ford when he
tends to get frantic.
That's exactly right. I loved it. I loved, Tommy Lee Jones, I believe, won an Oscar for that one.
Yeah.
In your face, Harrison Ford.
Yeah.
But just... what I loved about it, and I loved the same thing with Witness as well, just a bunch of character actors getting to
just really
get in there, you know, just a bunch of freaks with
normal
weird faces.
Looking people.
Just normal, bunch of normal looking freaks getting in there, you know, just
absolutely.
Just not everybody had to be a beautiful model man or woman, you know, they could just be normal. Also, Jane Lynch is in it for a second.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you know, like a rare.
Is it Robert Downey Jr. in that one or is he only in the sequel?
He's only in the sequel.
Okay.
Yeah. And in retrospect, you could guess that he was the bad guy in U.S. Marshals because he's the only new guy.
Because the other guy, who are the other people on the team?
Joey Pants is on it.
A few others that pop up in that.
Mm.
Yeah, I can't believe they made a. Oh, Julianne Moore's in that.
That's right.
Know that.
Yeah, she's a doctor in a hospital that Harrison Ford has to get to
because he wants to find the one-armed man.
Needs to find the one-armed man.
And he's like, I didn't kill my wife. And he's like, well, if you didn't prove it by jumping out of this big pipe.
Dare accepted. And then he does. And
how's that start hold up? The
body. Roll really badly. It's very bad. It's obviously a dummy.
It falls.
Yeah,
it falls
with like very stationary limbs. And a man who'd done that would obviously die.
They should have weighted into a kind of a pin drop, right?
I really enjoyed it, but my thought was that he's like a grown-up Tintin. This character, because he's constantly getting into scrapes that would kill anyone, and he just by sheer circumstance,
okay.
like he's he gets convicted of the murder of his wife, and then they put him on a prison bus, and then the bus crashes, and he's
fine.
That's
how he gets off.
And then
how he gets out initially.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. And then the bus gets hit by a train, and he escapes that, and then he jumps off the dam, and he's fine.
Oh my god!
Very Tintin.
Okay, so this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just. I'm sorry. I had something to say and I completely forgot.
Is it about four?
Oh, this is the one that also he filmed when he did that episode of Young Indiana Jones, and that's why he has a beard in that.
Oh right, yeah, he looks great with a beard.
It's a 93.
Mm.
How do you feel when he dyed his hair?
I loved it
in the mirror.
Yeah, it was lovely.
And he pretends to be an orderly in it or something, doesn't he? Or
he pretends to be a janitor.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, right. Mm. Okay, good stuff. Yeah. So just looking at this, Mason.
It also has the other end of.
Oh yeah.
Do you remember that episode of Scrubs? Where the janitor.
Because
this is the first time that Neil Flynn, who was the janitor in Scrubs, worked with Harrison Ford, because he did it again in Kingdom of the Crystal Skull,
correct,
where he plays an FBI agent. But there's an episode of Scrubs where the janitor is like, no, I was in the movie The Fugitive.
Yeah.
Because he's the
and
actor.
I think,
he plays a cop on the subway.
And isn't it also that JD sees him in that movie initially and he's like, is that the guy or whatever? Yeah, so that's fun.
It's a bit of fun.
Real life in that movie. He says like Kimball Freeze or something like that, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Apparently he loves the movie K-9 The Widowmaker.
Okay.
Which is about submarines and whatever. I started to watch and then I had to stop because, Mason, I'm alone. I'm all alone.
Yes.
The first of his Jack Ryan movies.
Oh, yes.
Patriot Games. Oh. And I got like 10 minutes in and then it's also not a movie I'm like, I have to watch this for work. I can put this on. Yeah, I wish I could have got to it, but I didn't.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, I don't. Have you seen any of those? I don't remember. I probably saw some of them.
I've definitely seen Patriot Games and Clear and Present Danger.
Apparently,
and I've read the novels.
Oh, well, apparently Tom Clancy thought he was too old.
Oh.
I think he was approaching 50 at the time, which I don't think is a problem.
Mm.
Sabrina remake.
Oh, yes.
How do you feel about Air Force One? Get off my plane, Gary Oldman, or whoever else is here.
I don't have any strong feelings about it.
What about the plane crash?
I don't remember
the CGI plane crash.
I don't remember it.
People are like, awful. People
is it better or worse than him jumping off?
Yeah,
right.
It's worse.
That's a shame.
Yeah.
Is it really early CG where obviously
they shouldn't have done
it's got the it's got the pixels? You
it's
can
like
see
an episode of Sliders.
Yeah, great.
It's got like no texture to it. Do you remember 6 Days, Seven Nights?
Yes.
Where Harrison Ford plays a pilot
mm-hmm.
who crashes.
Yeah.
Bit of a stretch, mate. on an island with Anne Heche.
Oh, the late Anne Heche, yeah, that's
and
right.
And they fall in love.
Mm.
And this was just after Anne Heche had come out. Mm. And the trailers were like, Harrison Ford goes where no man has gone before or whatever.
That's right,
and he has to get a snake out of her pants or whatever.
Yeah, right. Uh-huh.
Anyways, Temuera Morrison is in that movie. So I remember as a kid being like, oh, my God, it's Boba Fett and...
He's basically Australian. Yeah.
It's Boba Fett versus Han Solo.
Oh, I didn't even think of that.
Yeah.
I didn't even think of that.
Now, listen, don't watch the movie Hollywood Homicide, but
go on.
Google the scene Hollywood Homicide, Harrison Ford bike.
Okay. Does he steal a bike off a kid?
Yeah, he steals a bike off a little girl and does a foot chase, and he's just screaming at everybody the whole time. It's very funny.
Mm.
And he's intentionally funny, like he's being funny in it. It's really good.
Yeah.
Mm. What else we got, Mason?
We got to acknowledge at some point that Harrison Ford is being deliberately funny sometimes.
Yeah. What else? What are you thinking?
What am I thinking in terms of the oeuvre of Harrison Ford?
Ender's Game?
Didn't see it.
Well, the thing about Ender's Game is a lot of that footage.
He was in Anchorman 2?
He was, yeah.
I haven't seen Anchorman
2. Yeah, he fires Ron Burgundon.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, so there's
does he look like he's having a nice time?
Yeah,
he gets mad.
He does a knife time.
All right, I'm going to look. Here's my last two picks, James. My last two picks, Blade Runner and Blade Runner 2.
Oh, wow. How original for you to do that.
That's right.
Do you recommend the one that came in between?
Middle.
The Kurt Russell movie?
Middle period Blade
Soldier.
Runner.
Soldier?
No.
No?
Not seen
the Blade Runner universe.
Might be great.
Yeah.
Might be great.
So, yeah, Ender's Game, I just wanted to say,
uh-huh.
where he plays like some kind of Colonel Space whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That movie was...
Colonel Space whatever.
Colonel Space whatever. That movie was great mm-hmm. for people making Episode 7 fan trailers before it came out.
Oh,
like
of
getting
course.
Footage of Harrison Ford being a space colonel.
Yeah, right.
And they're like, you know...
This is what it's going to be like.
Yeah.
It's magical.
Apparently he's good in 42.
Okay.
That's a movie, Chadwick Boseman's.
Okay.
Movie from 2013.
It's not a 65 prequel.
So, no, Age of Adeline was interesting because that uses, there's a woman in it who doesn't age.
Okay.
And Harrison Ford is, and so she dates Harrison Ford when he's young.
Okay.
And then when he's older, so when he's young, he's played by Anthony and Gruber.
Okay.
Who does the impressions of him.
Right.
And then when he's older, he's played by Harrison Ford.
Right.
So that, if that's what you were looking for in a movie, Mason.
I kind of was.
That's what you're going to get.
The Age of Adeline.
Yeah.
There you go.
That's what you're going to get, Mason.
That's what I want, though.
Yeah.
So that's cool.
Anyway, so he's made of lots of good movies.
Agreed.
And that's all I've got to say about that.
Same.
Yeah. Anything else, or should we move on?
I think we could move on.
Oh, I just want to say quickly in Witness, I'm going to spoil the ending for a little bit.
Oh, no.
Skip ahead.
In a way, we're all the witness.
There's a moment where one of the bad, corrupt cops has a horrible grain silo-related death.
Yeah.
Very harrowing.
Yeah.
And the other one is at the end when there's the cops there.
Is it the dressmaker?
No, I haven't. We've talked about
it. There's a grain solar
related. I know. Yeah, yeah. I knew because I know you hate that that idea, so I thought you would have enjoyed that.
Love that. Thank you.
There's a moment at the end where Harrison Ford is there and there's one corrupt cop left who's like going to shoot Harrison Ford with a shotgun.
That's right.
Harrison Ford's like, "Stop doing it, enough. You can't kill everybody." And he's like, "What are you going to shoot this old man?" And he just grabs an old Amish man. He's like, "What are you going to shoot this boy?"
That's right.
And I'm like, "Settle down,
yeah,
Harrison
Ford." He might actually. He might even only be trying to shoot you, but he's using a shotgun, so he'll get the other two as well.
It's got to spread. It's got to spread, Harrison Ford.
That's right. Yeah.
It's really good.
Yeah. Also,
when he drives up at the end, he should have hit the birdhouse again.
Yeah, that's right. Later, losers. I haven't learned anything. I'm about the same as I was before. Vroom.
It's true.
Love that.
Me too.
Love that for us.
Yeah, me too.
Should we do letters?
Yeah, let's do it.
I've got a theme for letters. The classic one was the letters, oh letters, we love you. Some letters, they're only a day away. I know they're here right now. We're going to do letters.
Yeah. If you do want to reach the show, hashtag weeklyplanetpod on Twitter or weeklyplanetpod@gmail.com.
That's right.
Mason. What do you got in terms of letters this week?
I'll find one real quick. Don't
worry. Okay, I'll do this then.
Okay.
This is from Tom Bonahawk.
Excuse me?
That's what he said.
Tom Bonahawk.
Bone a hawk. B-O-N-E.
Oh, like bone tomahawk, but reversed.
Nope.
Okay.
Says, Secret Invasion keeps getting better with every episode.
Disagree.
Mendo giving full, you've been talking to the cops energy in the restaurant scene with Gravik. Yeah, I enjoyed that scene.
Yeah.
I do not love this show.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of a bit flat and meandering.
I think it's improved since the first episode.
Yeah.
The
intrigue is not there for me, kind of.
It's interesting because people are like, I've seen people on the internet go, what you said, all the superhero movies are the same, but they've given you something different. You said you wanted something different. Now you've been given something different. And you're like, I don't like that. What do you want? I don't know, something good?
Yeah.
Something really
exactly.
good would be good, you know?
Would be really good.
It's worthy of the millions and millions and millions of dollars they're pouring into these things, you know?
So I guess spoiler for this episode,
coming
to be a bit of time code. At the end, the implication is that James Rhodes is a Skrullington.
That is true, yes.
Do you think he's always been a Skrull, or do you think he's going to rescue him from one of those pods? He's just kept in a pod.
Oh, no, he's in a pod, I reckon.
Yeah, I agree.
Because
they're not going to be like he was a Skrull the whole time.
No, that's true.
Because that would change something.
Yeah.
We can't change anything.
Yeah. I think it'll be quite recent as well.
Yeah.
Because otherwise he has to
He calls him Nick in an earlier episode.
Yeah.
He's like, my friends don't call me Nick.
Mm.
Even though a lot of people in the MCU do call him Nick.
That's what I call him.
Captain America calls him Nick.
Mm.
His mum calls him Nicholas.
That's right.
Yeah. Anyway, it's all right. I think there's three left.
That's right. Yeah. Is Rhodey going to get in the War Machine armor, though?
No.
Ah, damn it.
Costs money.
That's true. That is true. You probably couldn't get it to Britain either, or wherever they are currently.
No, they have to, like, they're using all their money on morphin people.
Mm. But also, I was going to say, he can't be too far back because he's got Armor Wars coming up.
Yeah.
And so otherwise you have to do all his character development again.
Yeah.
The character development he has.
All it has to be is before the last, just after the last time we saw him, which was one of the shows. No, he was in an MCU show.
Oh, was he?
Was he in Captain America? The Captain America boys?
He might have been.
At the start where he's like, you shouldn't have given up the Captain America boy.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
He might have been in a different one. I don't know whether he was in that one.
But if he was in that, then they could just flash back to that.
Yeah.
And he can be like, you know, I said you shouldn't have given up the Captain America boys.
And he leaves the room and he gets bonked on the head.
Yeah. Or he leaves the room and he leaves like a green slime trail. They've added that in.
And then he goes, but this was recent. This happened recently.
Yeah.
So don't worry.
Yeah. Don't worry about it.
Cool. Anyway, I will continue to watch it because it is my job.
Yeah. This is from an email from Ben.
Ben?
Hey, since Superman is really the whole reason we have this podcast, I wondered if you boys have been watching My Adventures with Superman.
I would. If they put it on a streaming service.
It's not out here. He has said the first is on YouTube for free.
Oh, then I'll do that.
Yeah, I'll do that also.
Wait, let me check if it's even on Australian
YouTube. Yeah, that's right. He says, it's really fun and it feels like someone's finally trying to make a Superman project and respect the IP in the 21st century.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's not on the Australian YouTube.
That'll be right. And seeing as James is the guy who knows everything about anime, then he definitely should check it out.
Yes, there is some comparisons that could be made.
It is certainly anime-esque. He's got a sort of Sailor Moon suit-up sequence. I don't know if you've seen it.
No.
Where it's like, pew, pew, pew.
Sailor Moon.
He says Sailor Moon, yeah.
Is he allowed to say that?
No.
Legally?
No.
Well, he is Superman.
Did you see the trailer for Suicide Squad Isekai? You're an anime guy.
Oh, I saw a picture of it.
Okay, good. Yes.
And?
I don't know, it looks pretty fun. I didn't know there was a whole genre of sort of Japanese literature and animation and all sorts of stuff, isekai, which is just you go to a different place and you got to do stuff. Like you got to go on a quest.
Oh, okay.
Like there's a name, isekai is the name for it, of like.
So it's like a side mission.
Yeah, but it's like, so if you saw that recent Batman Ninja, which went on, they ended up in feudal Japan and they had to solve all the problems and blah, blah, blah. It's a whole genre.
Ninja Turtles 3.
Ninja Turtles 3 is an isekai, I guess.
I knew it.
There you go.
I know anime.
We're learning lots of things.
Because the original anime was Ninja Turtles 3.
That is very true, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I still got a tweet here from Rusty Shackleford.
Okay.
Who says, hashtag Weekly Planet Pod. Wife sometimes listens to your podcast with me, as well as Caravan of Garbage. And you gave me some hot takes. One, the host names are James and Jeremy. That's true.
That's true.
Two, the old theme was better, probably. Three, she's born and raised in Virginia, this is for you, and thinks they're worse drivers than VA drivers. What do you think of that?
Here's the thing. I can't remember where we came down on that.
No, we got confusing.
Everyone was yelling. Yeah. And then we changed topics to something else, I think. We'll come back to it. I'll come back to it, and based on scant evidence, I'll completely change my opinion on what I said last time.
All of that is good to know, though.
Thank you
for telling us.
That's right.
I appreciate that.
I'm going to find a second email. What do you think about that, James?
I find that highly disrespectful.
Mm.
But what do I do, you know?
That's true.
Maybe I'll open my Twitter again. This fucking works. I hate this. I always hated it. Now I hate it even more. Oh, here's something interesting. So Kyle has written in and said, hashtag Weekly Planet Pod. Mates, I've cracked the mystery of the fashion specs. You know, Indiana Jones.
That's
how
true, yeah.
Does he even need glasses?
Yeah.
Been watching The Adventures of Young Indiana Jones on Disney Plus, and in episode 12, he's getting spy gear set up with spy gear, and they give him Coke bottle spectacles to disguise himself from the Germans, Clark Kent style. Seems like a stretch, but he'd keep it up all the way into his professor days, but the Germans never did capture him on campus. Did they?
Oh.
So the whole thing is like, we talked about how is it like a Clark Kent-esque.
Right, yeah.
Like, is it like? Oh, now he's an action man. Now he's this, you know.
Well, I mean, you know, in the.
But he's saying it's literal. Yeah,
in a real world sense, it's because they wanted to distinguish him in the movie.
Yes,
you know, definitively, here's the academic side and here's the action side.
Yes, you're probably right.
Yeah. Also, it might be one of those things where, like, you know, some people will like they'll wear a hat for a costume party, and then suddenly they're a hat guy.
Yeah,
that
absolutely.
Looks bad.
Yeah. Nice. It's a good show.
Mm.
Everyone thinks so. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. Here's an email from Juan.
Juan?
A letter sent 2 years too late.
Oh.
Hey, mates, I'm Diego and I've been listening to the pod since just after the pandemic hit. I listened to every new episode since then, but recently went back and started from episode 1.
Oh, my God.
I've just hit episode 376. We discuss small details that take you out of movies.
Ah, yes.
I get taken out of a movie when another actor or franchise is name dropped because I immediately start thinking if any actors in the movie have worked with the actors mentioned or have even been in the franchise mentioned.
Uh-huh.
So the best example, in Endgame, they mention apparently Hot Tub Time Machine, and Sebastian Stan is in Hot Tub Time Machine.
He is too.
And the Big Lebowski, because Jeff Bridges is in the Big Lebowski. And Far From Home, having Fury mention Star Wars, which Samuel L. Jackson is also in.
Yes.
And also they mention...
Crocodile Dundee.
Yeah. And in Civil War, they're like, hey, there's this old movie and it's Empire Strikes Back and you know.
Yeah. And Harrison Ford is General Ross.
He is the General Ross now, that's right. So they're going to have to change one. They're either going to have to change that line in Civil War or they're going to have to turf him from.
Fair.
Yeah, I think so too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
My God.
Mm.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting.
That is very interesting. I also think that.
Mm.
But here's the problem is you go, well, obviously, if they mention Chris Evans in a Marvel movie, you go, well, obviously, there's Captain America and Chris Evans just happens to look a lot like him.
Yeah.
But then you get into the Ocean's 12 situation where you've got a character played by Julia Roberts and they confuse her for the real Julia Roberts.
And Bruce Willis is there as himself.
Yeah, that's right.
Good movie.
That's annoying.
It is annoying.
I hate it.
I hate it too.
Oh, wait, but I guess, you know, every once in a while.
Every once in a while something happens.
That's So true.
We all get along.
That's, I don't know if we all get along.
Some of us do. Not us.
No.
What's next, Mason? Or are we wrapping this old show up?
We're wrapping this old show up, James, because you've got to sleep and you've got to take your kids to school tomorrow. Both your kids.
Both of them.
You're turfing the three-year-old
at a
primary school tomorrow.
That's what you got to do.
That's right. Mm. Folks, thank you so much.
They legally have to take them.
That's true.
They can't just push them in front of traffic.
That's right.
That's illegal.
That's right. It's true.
Why did you look shifty then?
I don't know.
You have a real side to side.
I'm like,
look.
I call the cops on this guy?
Not me. I'm not doing that. I'm saying they can't.
Yeah, well.
But I also can't.
That's true.
Yeah.
Folks, thank you so much for listening.
Why are you doing that? I'm just going to quickly check the monitor and come back.
Oh, my God. All right. Okay. It's difficult to do if you're not there.
Yeah.
Because I'm looking at it.
That's what she said.
Oh, wait a second. Folks, thank you so much for listening to the podcast. We absolutely appreciate it. You are the reason that we're here recording this very podcast. If you want to get into contact with us, actually, no, there's a different bit.
Yeah.
I say, folks, thank you for...
Yeah, I'm here. Is this going to help?
No.
I'm back?
No, it's worse now. folks, thank you for listening. Thank you for telling your friends about it, this podcast.
Yeah,
thank
man.
You for subscribing to the podcast. And thank you for leaving a 5-star
review.
Free. It is free to leave a review, as far as I know. But eventually, they'll try and monetize it.
Yeah.
Spotify will be like, you can't leave a review unless you're bloody, you know?
We hit you with a rock.
Yeah. Do you have any 5-star reviews?
I do. I've got two, Mason. This is from MHCNC, who says, 5 stars, by the way, any app.
That's
fine.
Very good. That's very good.
At the end
good.
Of doing a long day doing science, my brain is too scrambled to listen to educational podcasts.
But podcasts?
Podcast. But a fact
what
I learned.
Do you live by a bloody lake or something?
I know. But a fact I learned for a scientist to get this wrong in this review, disappointing. Mm. Fact I learned from this show did come in handy last week. The final question of Trivia Night was, which movie, based on a book and later adapted into a TV show, was the first to use CGI? I, of course, knew the answer was Westworld.
Westworld?
Bet 20 points on it and came third overall as a result. This podcast is not just fun. It's educational and could help anyone with their trivia goals.
You listen to this podcast, you get a bronze.
That's right. Mm. Next time I'm in Melbourne, I owe you guys a cut of our $10 winnings. Cheers, lads. It's Monte from Los Angeles.
Do they get $10 each or do they collectively get $10?
Good question. I don't know. But, yeah, figure that out and then let us know.
Just give us $10.
How much money you owe us.
Just give us $10.
Or more.
Yeah, or more. Yeah. If you wouldn't mind.
This one's from Jesse Adams, also 5 stars. This is a wonderful podcast. Love the podcast, 5 stars, but the revelation of little James implies the existence of Big James, which begs the question of where is the giant Big James? My theory is that Mr. Sunday and Nick Mason killed Big James. In the early episode when Nick Mason refers to the podcast studio as a man cave, I believe it's just that, a room made from or within the bones of Big James. If you haven't listened to this podcast, I highly recommend it, 5 stars.
Now, Big James has died of a heart. Yeah, issue.
He's too big.
Too big.
Like an Andre the Giant situation, unfortunately.
You know, you see a lot of little old men. You've never seen any big old
never
men.
Never see a big old man.
That's right.
That's right.
Sometimes you do. They're just very quiet and still.
Yeah. Mm. Because they have to. Because if they move.
The heart will explode.
Heart will explode.
Yeah. Anyway, folks, if you want to get into contact with us, you can go to weeklyplanetpod@gmail.com, Facebook, Twitter, Bandcamp. You can go to the Planet Broadcasting Great Mates Facebook group. You can go.
This is an okay length podcast.
I agree.
Some people don't think it is, but I'm saying it is.
Okay. Plenty. All right. Okay.
Yeah.
Mm. Where was I? That's quite all right. You can also go to the Weekly Planet Podcast subreddit and Discord.
Nice places.
Fun, civil discourse about podcasts and pop culture. That's what we're all about.
That's what we do.
Get in there, you know?
That's
Have a
right.
good time there.
And we're breaking rules in there. Yeah. Come and watch us break rules.
That's right, we'll break the rules. You can't break the rules, though. We'll break the rules.
That's right.
Folks, if you want to support the show, you can go to patreon.com/MrSundayMovies, chucking a buck. You can also go to bigsandwich.co, sign up for $9 per month. You get bonus podcast, movie commentaries, video game, let's plays, early videos, ad-free podcast fees.
Feebs.
Yep. Ad-free podcast feebs. Also, if you want to follow some people, follow our friend Rob Collings at Rob Collings
on
Twitter.
God.
At The Weekly Planet on Twitter. That'll keep you updated on
Claire
all things.
Claire met him and Maisie at her live show in Dublin the other day.
There you go.
Said they were both delightful.
Ooh, very, very nice.
I know you disagree, but I agree with Claire.
Hey.
Yeah.
Well, it's good we have different opinions on that. I think that's nice.
That's right.
So follow Rob Collings. Follow me, Wikipedia Brown on Twitter and Nick Mason. As yet, not on Threads.
Not yet.
James, Mr. Sunday Movies everywhere, including on Threads.
Yeah.
Wow. Give us a look at Threads later. I'll be excited to see Threads.
I'll show you now. I'll just slide you my phone.
That's really exciting.
Yeah.
Nice.
Don't look at all my photos.
Wasn't going to. thank you to The Brute and the Basilisk and Rackham for all the musical themes. Thank you to the aforementioned Maisie and also Sarabi and Fidel for their wonderful moderation duties.
Absolutely.
Over there.
It's on night mode.
Who's this guy? Why are you looking at his dog?
I'm not looking at. Who is that? I don't follow that guy.
Yeah, I don't know who that is. That's Alistair Trombley-Birchall. You know him.
Yeah, I follow him. Some people I follow.
That's Pixelated Boat.
Yeah, I follow him. Pretty I like good. Him.
Okay. I love that.
Me too.
Yeah.
You love this app, dude.
I love the app. It looks like a good app.
Yeah.
It's got all the things I love and none of the things I don't love. Except you.
Oh, come on, mate.
That's right. If you want a t-shirt, you go to tpublic.com. You search for the Weekly Planet. Or get a mug or a pillow or something.
Get a mug, your mug.
You get a mug, your mug.
Yeah.
And that's the whole show next week. Mission Impossible Mission Dead Impossible Reckoning Part 1.
7.
That's right.
Yeah, it is 7.
It is 7, yeah.
I'm excited for that.
Yeah, when are you seeing it?
Probably Friday.
Ah.
What?
See it earlier so we can talk about it earlier.
When?
In our real lives.
I don't want to do that.
See it earlier so I can send you one text and I go, how about that thing? And you go, whoa.
I can't. Well, it depends it out.
No, nah, take your time. Don't worry
no,
about it.
No, well, it depends because I can't take my kids to see it.
No, that's
if
true.
It was Barbie or Oppenheimer, I would obviously take them.
That's true.
Let me have a look. Let's get some, got some upcoming sessions. I saw Elemental.
How was that?
It's fine.
Great.
What do you think of that?
Did you save Pixar as a studio?
I did, actually, yeah.
That's cool, actually.
Yeah. No, it was all right. Like, for a kid's movie. My kids were like, yeah, that was all right. Yeah,
nice.
And I'm like, yep, good assessment.
That's great.
It's not showing till. Oh, wait, there are some sessions tomorrow.
Oh, a couple of sessions.
I'll see you tomorrow.
Oh,
but it's not free.
Why would it be free?
I just prefer it to be free.
I mean, wouldn't we all?
All right.
All right, folks.
Thanks, everyone.
Grab that gem, you guys. We'll see you next week.
And goodbye.
Bye.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.